Lakuta Sichas, Chelik Yud Beis, Parsha Bahar, Sicha 2. Kosel Parsha Seinu, it's written in our Parsha V'chiyu, Yom Chachicha V'Gaymer. If one of your brothers will become poor, Ger V'Teishav, or if he's a Ger V'Teishav, V'chai Imach, he shall live with you, you shall allow me, shall be given life together with you, Al Tikach Mi'itei Neshech V'Tarvis. Do not charge him for interest. If you give him a loan, do not charge him interest. So the Gemara, the Chachamim say, that which is written, that you shouldn't charge interest, it only refers to your brother, which means another yid. But not on a ger toishav, which means a person that is keeping the Sheva Mitzvah B'nei Noach. Shalachay Nemer al tikach mi'itay. The Gemara explains that this is why it says, do not take from him, Eloshin Yochid, in a singular form, v'lo al tikach mi'itam, do not take from them, because the Pasuk had included Achicha, your brother, and ger v'toishav, so it should have said mi'itam, from them, but it says mi'itay, because it refers only to the Yidden. So then why does the Pasuk bring in Ger V'Teishav? Hurak le'inyan v'chai imach, this is only referring to the mitzvah that we have to give life, in other words, to assist Ger V'Teishav as well. Sh'ata mitzvah l'achyoy, say that you are commanded to give him, sustain him. Havaloy le'inyan al-tikach mi'itei neshu b'tarvis, but it doesn't refer to the prohibition to charge interest. In other words, that you're allowed to charge interest to a ger toishav. Because of the Rambam writes, ha'akum v'ger toishav lo v'mehem amal v'mosim beribis, that a goy or a ger toishav, you're allowed to borrow from, you're allowed to lend them money or borrow from them by charging interest or paying interest. Lo'achicha osur. La'ashara elamuter, the pasuk says only lo'achicha, to your own brother, meaning to a yid. That's who it's prohibited to charge or pay interest to, l'sharei l'muta, but for the rest of the world it is permitted. The mitzvahs asei l'hashich l'akom, in fact the Rambam says that it's actually a mitzvah that for a oivet kechavim mazolos, for a goy, that you should charge him with interest. Sh'ne'emar l'nochri sashich, as the pasuk says, for a goy you should charge him interest. So the halacha l'Moshe Sinai, the tradition teaches that it's not only that you're allowed, you're permitted to charge interest, but that it's a mitzvah to charge him interest. In other words, that there are three separate categories of charge, whether you're allowed to charge interest or not. Yisrael, in regards to another yid, also l'halvayis abribis, you're not allowed to lend money with interest. Ger toishav, mutar l'halvayis abribis, you're allowed to, you're permitted to lend money with interest, but there's no mitzvah to do so. Akum, when it comes to a goy, mitzvah l'kachas mimenu ribis, it's a mitzvah to charge interest. V'hinei, mashi tira toiro l'kachas ribis ma'akum, o meger toishav. What is the reason that the Torah permits one to charge interest from a goy or from a ger toishav? Afshe also ligzol a lignoiv kol shu din Torah b'em Yisrael b'em Enochri. Even though when it comes to stealing from a goy or robbing a goy, you're not allowed to rob is steal even the slightest amount from a goy, whether a goy or a yid. V'gam also midayraisa l'rames is b'nei odem b'mekach v'memkar, and it's also prohibited midayraisa to fool someone by overcharging and so on, which is a business deal that they agreed to, but they didn't know that it was not necessarily the best deal. You're not allowed to do that. Whatever the laws of a Noah are, how much is called overcharging and so on, those are details which I'm not going to get into here. But whatever is considered a Noah, you're not allowed to do it to a guy either. And a guy is also, you're not allowed to do it to a guy either. But interest, you are allowed to charge a guy. Move and who, this can be understood. Kishaini ribis migezel v'ino, because charging interest is very different from theft or overcharging. Kidisa b'gemara, as the Gemara says, Shagam b'Yisroel lo metzinu l'meila fa'isad l'kichas ribis me'isa gezel v'ino. The Gemara says that even by a yid, it wouldn't necessarily follow that just because you're not allowed to steal from a Yid, or that you're not allowed to fool him in a business deal, therefore you're not allowed to charge interest. That doesn't follow. It's possible that you are allowed to charge interest even though you're not allowed to steal. The rationale is why it doesn't follow necessarily is because stealing or fooling him in a transaction is not with his own knowledge. He doesn't know that you're doing that to him. I know le yadibe, because when you overcharge him, he doesn't know that you're overcharging him. Gezel al karach shakel. And if you steal something, maybe you're taking it against his will. Taimer beribis, where when it comes to charging interest, the midaitai, nice and light. He's giving it to you willingly. He knows you're charging interest. He gives it to you willingly. So therefore, just because you're not allowed to steal doesn't mean you're not allowed to charge interest. Well, mekiven sharibis, that's even by a yid. It wouldn't necessarily follow. Well, mekiven sharibis, shayne megezel v'noa, since interest is different from theft or overcharging, lekichas hamama inhu medaitei la'aloive, because charging the interest is with the full agreement of the borrower. Therefore, it's quite understandable why the Torah did not prohibit charging interest only from another yid, but not, it doesn't necessarily apply to a goy or to a ger teisha. So logically, it makes sense. Omnam zeh sheyesh gam mitzvus esel lahashuch la'akum tzarech bir. So that can be understood why it's permitted to charge interest. But what's the reason that there is a mitzvah to charge interest to a goy? That needs to be explained. Although, of course, the borrower, the goy, is giving it the, giving him the interest out of his own free will. But on the other hand, the Torah does call it neshech. What's the word for interest in the Torah? Neshech, which means you take a bite out of him. So the Torah understands that this is called taking a bite out of his finances by charging him interest. And in the end, there is a certain common denominator between theft and fooling him and interest, which is that he ends up out money. He ends up losing money as a result of it. You gave him a loan for 100, you're charging him 110, so that he lost that $10. So what's the reason that we were told that it's a mitzvah, that we should charge him interest? That needs to be explained. So this will be understood by first explaining that there's a machloikis between the poskim, whether one is permitted, when one is able to forgive the ribis. In other words, you charged somebody ribis, and now he wants to pay it back, or you want to pay it back. You want to pay it back. And he said, no, 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 it's okay, I forgive you. Whether that helps. So there's a machlokes. Das ha-ga'inim, the opinion of the ga'inim, shegam im amal v'kvar gobes ha-ribis, that even if the lender already collected the interest, And the malva wants to return it. The lender wants to return it. The borrower says, no, no, it's okay, you can keep it. Does that help that the lender should not have to pay it back because he forgave it? In other words, so the Gaonim said that it doesn't help. He has to return it anyway. The reason for this is kol ribis sheba'olam mechilahi. They say that any ribis, whatever situation ribis is, it is given willingly, freely, by the lender, by the borrower. So therefore, every ribis is mechila. Aval ha-Torah lo mochla v'asra mechila zu. But the Torah says, no, we don't accept this, the borrower saying, it's okay, you can charge me ribis. The Torah says, no, you can't charge ribis. So therefore, lefikach eina mechila me'elus b'ribis, that shows that Mechila, forgiving the need to return it, doesn't help. The Torah says no, Mechila doesn't help by ribis. Aval da'as ha-rosh, But the Rosh says, "V'chein nivsek halacha b'tur v'shulchan aruch." In fact, this is the halacha in turn v'shulchan aruch. She'ei mechila me'elus lahatir es lekichas haribis mi'ikara. That when do we say that mechila doesn't help? Only that one should be permitted to charge interest. We don't say, well, he was giving it willingly, why not do it? No, the Torah says you're not allowed to. Kichol ribi shavayla mechili, as is expressed by that expression, that every ribis is considered mechila, v'atayra osra mechila zu, but yet the Torah said, we don't allow this kind of mechila, and do not, you're not permitted to charge ribis. Aval im kvar lokach mimenu ribis, but if you're already charged, and he already paid the ribis, and now he wants to return it, the borrower saying it's okay, I'm meichel you this money, helps, that he doesn't have to return it now, just like if somebody were to steal something from someone else, and now he wants to return it, and the person says, nah, it's okay, you can keep it, he doesn't have to return it. The person gave him freely his money, he can give him his money. So the same applies by ribis. This is according to the Rosh. V'hine, now, taimam shal ha-goyinim she'ei mechila me'elus klal b'ribis, the reason that the goyinim say that forgiving the debt doesn't help by ribis, gam la'achar she'nitna, she'nosna lo'i v'medayte l'malva, even after he's already given it, and now it's a question of returning it, av she'chidush zeh she'atayra lo'i mochle v'asar mechila zu, even though the simple meaning of mechila doesn't help by ribis, as the Torah expresses it, is at least befeirish, is only that you're not allowed to charge ribis, or that he's not allowed to pay ribis. But this idea that the Torah doesn't allow this mechila doesn't really apply. We don't know that it applies after having already paid the ribis. In that case, the Torah doesn't in any way mention that you're not allowed to be meichel this kind of ribis after it's already been given. The Torah certainly states that you're not allowed to give ribis, which means you're not allowed to be meichel the ribis, but after you've already given it. Now that if he doesn't want to take it back, the Torah doesn't say that you have to give it back. So then why do the Ga'onim do insist on that it applies even then? Mevayir haritva, meaning even then means after it's already been given, and now it's a question of returning it, and he doesn't want to take it back. So the Ritva explains, this is what he says, Tfiyas ribis loy havi kishar tfiyas begezel ba'ino ukiyetzvahem, that the demand for ribis is not the same as by theft or when somebody fools somebody in a business deal and so on. The islay al chavre shibud mamin, because in those cases there is a, when it comes time when somebody stole something from someone, the person from whom you stole it, you owe him money. You have something that you took from him, you owe him that money. By ribis, it's not the same. You don't owe him anything. He gave you ribis, which would be in normal transactions, would be perfectly permissible, if not that the Torah said not to do it. But the Torah says no, you have to return it. It's not permitted. You have to return something that you took from him, that you got from him. The chiyuv the ramya leirachmanahu. So therefore, this is a chiyuv which doesn't exist by its own merits, because ribis isn't an illogical thing, as I'll explain a little later. But the Torah says, I obligate you not to take ribis. It's something that I'm telling you can't do. This could be similar to, there is an opinion that says that priyas b'chayv mitzvah, which means there is an actual mitzvah of a person that takes a loan to pay it back. The payment back of a loan is a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah for the borrower to pay back the lender. So it is a mitzvah. You're commanded to pay back the money. Yet, we say that even though it's a mitzvah min ha-Torah to return the loan, if the lender says to you, I forgive you the loan, you don't have to return it, even though the Torah says it's a mitzvah to return it. So therefore we see that even though the Torah says it's a mitzvah to return it, but when there is a monetary value that you owe him, and he forgives you that monetary value, the Torah doesn't insist that you have to pay it back. In a similar way, somebody could look at this matter of the ribis. The only difference is that by the loan, in other words, the actual amount of the loan, it is a chiyuv mamon. It's a monetary amount that you owe this person, and therefore he has the right to forgive you that amount. The Torah also says that it's a mitzvah to pay back a loan. But over here, you don't owe him any money. The Torah says that you're not allowed to charge ribis, and therefore you owe it to the Eibishter. You owe that money to the Eibishter. And therefore, the person whom you charge the ribis is not able to forgive the loan or the ribis, which the Eibishter said not to do. Whereas by the loan itself, the money itself, it's his money that he gave to you. And the Torah says that it's a mitzvah to pay it back. But if he wants to forgive you the money that he gave you, of course he can do it. That's how the Ritva makes the difference between Gezel Einoah, or a loan, and Ribis. In other words, when the Goinim said, what was their meaning of saying that all Ribis is Mechila? Since all ribis is by definition mechila, but it's the Torah that doesn't forgive it. The Torah doesn't allow it. What they meant to say by this was that ribis is not a matter of a monetary transaction that a person has every right to forgive if he wants to. It doesn't get into that category, because he decided to forgive the ribis. It doesn't rise to that. Rather, ribis is something which the Torah insists that the malva, the lender, is not allowed to do. It's a mitzvah that I means the Eibishter. And his obligation to return the ribis is not that he owes it to the lender, to the borrower. His obligation is not to the borrower. His obligation is to Hashem. L'chein eina mechilu me'olus b'ribis, and therefore, forgiving the ribis doesn't help. Gam acha shekiblu ha'malve, even if the malve already received it, and he has to return it. Because he cannot fulfill his obligation to Hashem until he returns the money that he took in a way that the Eibishter said not to, and therefore he has to return it. And that's what he means by kol ribis shavayla mechila, and that's why all ribis is a mechila, meaning it's the Eibishter who decided that you shouldn't take it, and therefore you owe it to him, and therefore the malva, the lender, has no right to, the borrower has no right to forgive it, because it's not his to forgive. That's how the Gaon, the Ritva, explains the Gaon. V'hine al pi zeh tzarach leimar the svarasei shel harosh v'tor v'shulchan aruch. So based on this, you have to explain then that what is the other side of it, the rosh and the tor v'shulchan aruch, the mahani mechila beribis lachash shabayi le'din dei malva. The rosh and the tor v'shulchan aruch hold that after the malva already collected the ribis, he doesn't have to return it if the loiva doesn't want it back. How was he able to forgive the ribis? Although it's true that the obligation to return the ribis is something that the Torah taka says that you must return it, that it's something that the Torah expects, and it isn't because you owe him money, because the ribis in itself doesn't necessarily mean that you owe him money. Even so, this obligation that the Torah said that the person has to return the ribis, is not that you owe it to the Eibishter. Rather, what the Torah wants, you return it to the person whom you took it from, who you caused them to lose this money in a way that I told you not to. So you owe it to him, not that you owe it to me. That's the difference between the way the Gaonim look at it and the way the Rosh and the Torah Shulchan Aruch look at it. That it's taken not a chiyuv mamayin, but still it is that you owe it to the person. In other words, because the Torah doesn't allow you to take ribis, and even if you take it, wants you to return it, so the Torah is saying you have to give him back the money, not you have to give me back the money, and he's and he, the leiva, is collecting it for me, but rather you owe it to him. And therefore, since you owe it to him, because the Torah said you owe it to him, but if he wants to be meichel, he has the right to be meichel. And as the Ritva explained in the opinion of the Gaonim, that this returning of the ribis that comes because the Torah said that you have to return the mummy, not because you owe him money, because you don't owe him money. This can be seen as similar. In other words, the Rosh says that it is more similar to Priyas Balchayv. Elisha Ritva Chiluk Ladas Haga'inim in Priyas Balchayv Lachzaris Ribis. The only difference is that the Ritva made this distinction between the way the regular part of the loan is paid, that it's taka mitzvah, but it's still that you owe him the money, and therefore he has a right to return it. And the distinct from that is the ribis, which you don't owe him, you owe it to the Eibishter, therefore he can't be meichel. The priest balchayv iked din mamen lechaveira yumahanya mechila avalachol shmaim uchayev. That's how the Ritva distinguished between ribis and priest balchayv. That over there it's a chiyuv mamen, and therefore he could be meichel it. Over here you owe it to the Eibishter. But so the Rosh doesn't buy this difference, this distinction. The Rosh says that this is more similar to Priyas Balchayv, which is you owe him the money, you have to return the money to him, but the Torah says that you owe it to him, not that you owe it to the Eibishter, and therefore if he wants to be meichelit, once he already gave it to you, and therefore he can also be meichelit. So it comes out that both, according to the Gaonim and the Rosh, nechshav mamin haribis l'mamayin shel mamalva. So it comes out, according to everybody, that who does the money actually belong to? It actually belongs to the malva. It doesn't belong, it's not a chiyuv mamayin that you owe the leiva money. Ribis is different. He has no obligation to return it as a monetary obligation, because it is fair in theory to charge interest. But the Torah refuses to allow a yid to charge ribis, but it's not a monetary obligation to the loiva that he has to return it. So based on this, we can explain, at least an important detail about returning ribis. Hamalva beribis, imbo lasis tshuva lahachzir haribis, emekavlem emenu. It's written in the Gemara that if somebody who gave loans with interest, and he charged interest illegally, he wasn't permitted to do it, and now he wants to do tshuva, and he wants to go return all the ribis that he charged, the Gemara says, don't accept it back. In other words, don't make it too difficult for him to do tshuva. On the other hand, even though the leiva says, no, it's okay, I'm not going to take it back, the malva should still make every effort to return it in order to fulfill his obligation to Hashem. And back the other way, midas chesidus shelo lekabel memenu. On the other hand, it's a midas chesidus. The leiva is instructed that he should out of compassion or to help the malva do tshuva, he shouldn't accept the ribis, because that might make it too difficult for the malva to do tshuva if he has to return all kinds of money, which he may not have, or it may be very difficult. But it goes back and forth. Rabir bazeh, so to explain this back and forth. Amar Azal, HaTorah chasal l'meinu shel Yisrael. The Chachamim say that the Torah was careful about Jewish money. We don't waste money. You have to be particular about how you spend the money, what you make a person do with his money, and so on. The Torah has rachmanis on Yiddish geld. We can explain what's the reason for it. The psak din hu kol masecha l'shem shemayim al pipnimis einyonim. Since there is a ruling that everything that a yid does should be done l'shem shemayim, u'b'chol rachecha de'eyu, and that a yid has to know Hashem, serve Hashem in every way that he has. Since, therefore, when a yid has money, he's obligated to fulfill this mitzvah of with all of his money, all the money that he has. Or as the Rambam says it, that a person shouldn't be earning money so that he can gather wealth, but rather, it is in order to be able to fulfill the mitzvahs and so on, do the Eibishter's will. So in other words, a yid's money is all directed, needs to be directed to serve Hashem. The signet teres achsidus, or as in the words of chsidus, b'mamayinim shel Yisrael, yeshnim netzutzim k'deishim ha-shayachim l'shoyrish nishmasei. The reason that Hashem gives a certain yid money is because the netzutzes, the holy sparks, that are contained in that money have connection to his neshama. Therefore, he received this money and he needs to use it and elevate it. Those sparks are his area of accomplishment. Since the Eibishter gave the nature of the world and the order of the world in this way, that it's possible the Eibishter created a world in which interest charging is a way that one can make money. The Yisaidim Azush, Agar Notalei, and that's even fair. It even seems fair. Because I have to wait for the money. I gave you the money. Now you're sitting on it for months or years or whatever it is, and I'm not able to do anything with the money. Therefore, there is a certain value to that waiting. So therefore, Aseichel Mechayev Zeh. So therefore, intellectually and rationally, one would say that Harei Muvan Shagam Hanetzutze Shabaribis Yeshlam Eize Shaiches L'Sheirish Nishmasei. Haseichel Mechayev Zeh means, and therefore, this is even logical, and it's the way of the world, and therefore one would say that the netzutzes that are there, that I could collect from this interest, they, since it's a fair way to make money, they belong to me, they belong to my neshama. I am the one that's supposed to elevate those netzutzes. However, since the Torah says it's not permitted to collect ribis, therefore, the Torah says you cannot elevate these sparks. The Seder Avodas Behemot Derech Tchia, that the way that you have to elevate these sparks is by rejecting it, rejecting ribis. That's how you elevate this kind of money, which should l'chayra come your way, but because the Torah says no, therefore you reject it, and that's how you're able to elevate it, by rejecting it. Similar to anything which is prohibited to us. So how do we elevate those netzuzos? By rejecting them. So therefore, the ribis, the money, the netzuzos which are contained in this possible ribis are elevated by rejecting it. Hamnam, however, la'achri sholokach ha-malva es demei ha-ribis, now that the malva has already charged the ribis, v'kvarnasu chelik me'mamayne, and now they are already part of my money, v'ein olav chiev la'achzir metzadin mamish la'atzmai. As far as a monetary obligation, there is no monetary obligation to return this ribis, because it's my money. As we said before, that both the Ge'enim and the Rosh both agree that it's not a monetary obligation, it's only a Torah obligation. Elements of Chiyuv the Rama Rachman Alei, Kenal. So, Inei, Av, Sha'avre, Isu, Zeh, Bozeh. even though he transgressed by charging that ribis v'chayiv lahazir as ribis, and the Torah says you must return it. And kol makim still kol heichus yesh naderach acheres. If we were able to find another way in which this money, which is in the possession of this yid, which means that it has a shaychas to his shayrish and a shama, which means that he is the one that should be elevating it, and not only by rejecting it, because l'chayra, this now has a connection to him in a direct way. Wherever there's a possible way that he shouldn't have to return it and be able to spend it in a way of serving Hashem, that he can elevate it, one would think that you should make every effort that it should remain with him, and therefore he should have the ability to spend it and elevate it. Since the sparks of this money are connected to him. But bezeu tama pnimish mitzvah shel kabbalah achzara seribis habolot zidei shamayim, which is the inner reason why the loiva is told, which means the borrower is told that do not accept that ribis back, because now that it's in the possession of the malva and it is legitimately so, at least from the perspective of monetary reasons. So therefore, you should give him the opportunity to be able to use it, since it's connected to him, because it's connected to his Sheresh and Hashama. So now that we understand this, yesh levar gamatam shenitzdavinu likach haribis min hagoy. Now we can understand why we are commanded to take ribis from a goy. Even though we are strictly prohibited from causing him any financial loss through theft or fooling him and so on, but through ribis, to the contrary, we are told that we should charge him. Kinitzutzas elush shevdemea ribis shalagoi haloive miyisrael. Because these sparks of holiness, which are contained in the money which should be charged from this goy who was borrowing money to the Jew who was lending it to him, Shayochim heim lemalva. Those sparks are connected to the malva, to the borrower, to the Jew. To the lender, to the Jew. Ba'olav levader sanetzutzes mirushus haklipa la'leisa mikdusha. And it is now the mission of the yid that he should elevate this money through spending it properly to elevate them to kedusha. That not only if there it happens that you lend money to a goy, you should charge him ribis. They say even more, you should make every effort to give loans to goyim so that you can charge them ribis. That's how far they take it. Why? Because from the fact that you see that this guy needs a loan, and he needs a loan from you, you're the easy place to get a loan. This in itself is already the proof that the sparks of holiness which are contained in that money, which will end up being ribis, that the goy now owns, really need to be transferred to the yid. That's why the Eibishter brought about that he needs a loan and you have the opportunity to give him a loan. Therefore, you must take advantage of that. And therefore, it's a mitzvah to lend him money in order to be able to charge the ribis, in order to be able to elevate these nitzutzes of that money of ribis to kedusha.